This is Deanna Spingola. It is Friday, June 8th, 2012, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, no music, no fluff, no board ops. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is ZCF, which stands for Zion Crime Factory. His website is ZionCrimeFactory.com. This is a very special day. It is the anniversary date when the Israeli government attacked the USS Liberty on June 8, 1967. The Israelis said that it was a mistaken identity, that they didn't realize that the ship was an American ship. The Israeli government lied about it. The U.S. president lied about it. The U.S. government lied about it. And they've been lying about it and covering it up ever since. We did not hear anything about this on the news today, and probably won't. And whoever can maintain a cover story also has something to do with it, because you have to be able to maintain the cover story in order to perpetuate the lies. So, you know,
yeah, it shows you who controls the media right there, just the fact that it is completely whitewashed and covered up, and nobody talks about it. Hardly anybody has even heard of it. I tried to tell somebody, a random person, the other day about it, and they hadn't even heard of it. They don't even know what the USS Liberty is. They probably don't even know what Israel is. But a friend of mine named Zan Overall, the wise old man, he told me that he organized a demonstration at the Israeli embassy building in Los Angeles today.
Oh, did he? Bless his heart. You know, he's 85 and a half.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Imagine.
So he's going to be out in front of the Israeli embassy building protesting the USS Liberty attack, or passing out flyers and whatnot. So he's a dedicated guy. He knows the truth, and he's out on the streets. In fact, he went in front of a synagogue one time with a sign that said, "The gas chamber's lie will go the way of the Jewish soap lie and lampshade's lie." And a couple rowdy Jewish supremacists greeted him, and one of them said to him, he's like, "If I could, I would rip your eyes out of your head and pluck your teeth out of your mouth." And then they basically assaulted him.
They knocked him down, didn't they?
They knocked him down, or they ripped his sign out of his hands, and he fell to the ground. This is an 85-year-old man. This is how disrespectful and heinous these people are, attacking an 85-year-old man who's simply expressing, you know, his opinion, which he has every right to do, on a public street. And these bastards attack him and try to silence him. They stole his sign and you know, crumpled it up. And Zan is a tough guy. He didn't want to say that they assaulted him. He said that he just tripped or something, because he's not like the Jews who, if he had done that to a Jew, imagine the backlash that would have happened. He would have been in handcuffs. It would have been on the mainstream news. Jew is assaulted by evil anti-Semite. But when Jews are assaulting a truth teller like Zan Overall, it's nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be heard.
Right, and people have been arrested and incarcerated. In fact, Eric Hunt approached Elie Wiesel and wanted to see his tattoo, which, of course, he never shows. And I don't think his sister has a tattoo either. But
Elie, the weasel.
Yeah, the weasel actually had him in court, and he was in jail, I think, for like 18 months for that.
That's incredible. He told me that he simply tried to interview him. He grabbed his arm.
Yeah.
And I interview you, and he gets 2 years in prison for asking this Jewish supremacist for an interview. Shouldn't that tell you who controls the society? When, if you could do that to anybody else, nobody would have gone to prison for touching somebody's arm. It's crazy. It's a crazy situation where the Jews have a death grip on American society, and the USS Liberty is one example of how much control that they have. And that was back in 1967, and they got the US government to completely whitewash the incident, cover it up, and defend these Jewish terrorists and sweep this heinous assault under the rug. The U.S. presidents care more about Israelis than they care about their own citizens. They care more about Jews and their sensitivities than the murder of their own people in international waters, which is crazy. It's insanity.
It is. It is amazing. And you know, the timing of that is also very amazing. That was 1967. And basically, the word Holocaust was not that popular then. It didn't really become popularized until in the 1970s. And you had several things that happened. You had the Skokie March. You're familiar, are you familiar with that?
With Frank Cullen, the crypto Jew who was pretending to be a Nazi and was dancing around the Skokie, Illinois, with Sieg Heiling, and it was a total false flag. He wanted to whip up this Holocaust hysteria because, like, he was going around and he wasn't a revisionist at all. He was just trying to make National Socialism look bad. And he was saying 6 million Jews, Hitler didn't kill enough Jews, 6 million, 6 million. So he was totally a proponent of the official story. And a Jew actually came to his defense. Like, he wanted a permit, he needed a permit to do the protest. And a Jewish lawyer named Goldenberger or something actually came to his defense and got him the permit. So that should tell you right there that there's something fishy going on there. And that really unleashed the Holocaustianity in the endless barrage of Holocaust films quickly picked up after that Skokie, Illinois incident.
Right. And even the ACLU came to his defense, which tells you something else about who is behind it.
Anybody who's legitimate is not going to be defended by the ACLU or any Jewish lawyers. In fact, if they were legitimately fighting Jewish power and supremacy, all the Jewish lawyers would be fighting against you, trying to throw you in prison and take away your right to free speech.
Right. And you know about his prison term? He was actually the police caught him with some 10-year-old boys, and he was on his knees with these little 10-year-old boys, and he got 7 years, but he only spent 3 in jail. And then he took on a whole new persona and marched off happily ever after.
Well, I guess he was just following the dictate in the Talmud that says pedophilia is perfectly okay.
So we know he wasn't a real National Socialist, right?
Clearly, he wasn't a real National Socialist. He was a Jewish supremacist. It's unbelievable hoaxes they could pull off. They're just so crafty, and they're successful, 98% of the time when they want to pull off one of these hoaxes or false flag terrorist attacks or whatnot, because they have the media. The media is so powerful that, they can control the narrative. You can control the perception of the event through the media. So that even if there's a slip up, even if they do something wrong or they screw up, it doesn't really matter because the media will not draw attention to that, and they'll only show you what they want you to see.
Exactly. And of course, if that was a Catholic priest, well, that would be an entirely different story. It would have been on the front page.
The Catholic priests and a lot of those, pedophile priests or whatever, those scandals were from like decades ago, and they're just sort of rehashing them. But
Sure.
there's no attention on all the rabbis who get caught engaging in pedophilia and child abuse and whatnot. So why is it that Jews are immune from scrutiny from the mass media? Is that because the Nazis control the media? No, that's because Jews control the media. It's
Are
pretty
you
obvious.
sure? Well, what that's not what what I've heard. I've heard that Jim Mars said that the Nazis control everything and that this is the Fourth Reich. And after all, he is
Earth.
on the New York Times bestseller list.
Well,
Shouldn't that mean something?
Alex Jones says that too. It has to be true. If Alex Jones is saying it, yeah, I mean, if the Nazis are running the world, that's why, it's illegal to question the Holocaust in 16 countries, because the Nazis just they want to maintain the narrative that they're evil. They don't want you to question their fiendish evilness. They want you to believe that they're bad. It's ridiculous. I mean, you can criticize any group in the world except Jews, but Nazis are running the show. If Nazis are running the show, why is Hollywood constantly bad-mouthing Hitler, bad-mouthing the Nazis, making them out into these cartoonish, evil villains? It's, the Nazis are behind their own demonization. This is what Alex Jones is asking us to believe. Alex Jones wants us to believe that the Nazis are behind their own demonization and vilification in the media. This is how stupid he thinks we are.
And there are people who are stupid enough to fall for that, which is pretty awful.
Well, there's hordes of anti-Nazi zombies in the truth movement that advance these myths and lies. They claim that they're awake. They claim that they're in the know. Yet at the same time, the only event and period of history that they don't question is the Second World War narrative of the victors. They regurgitate wholly the narrative of the victors regarding World War II, the hollow fraud, Adolf Hitler. Why is that? Why are people so staunchly clinging to this fable, these ridiculous fables about National Socialism? Because the media is so intense with that propaganda. They're so ferociously and viciously consistent with the anti-Hitler message that even your average patriotard Alex Jones follower is still submerged in this vile dogma, anti-Nazi and anti-German dogma, that he regurgitates it too, like a parrot. They're like mind-controlled parrots, and you can't, it's hard to break, help them break free from that because it's so powerful.
I think there is probably more talk in the alternative media about the Nazis and a lot more anti-Hitler bashing, because that is where they will do the most good. Because people come to the alternative media because they think that they can believe everything. They're sick and tired of the lies in the mainstream media. They know the government lies about everything. And yet, this is the one thing that they will believe that is the government version of what happened during World War II. And so these people flock to the alternative media, they flock to Alex Jones, and you have to also look at the people that he has surrounding him. The people who, for instance, made Loose Change. You have to question who these people are. What are their names? Bemis and.
Jason Burmis or
Oh,
Berman,
I must have
Bermanstein.
been thinking of Bemis. What's that? What am I
Ber
thinking?
Ber Burmis is the Neanderthal-looking guy who said that that anti-Semites or people who criticize the Jews should be executed by electrocution. Or he said also that he wouldn't mind a little population control on the anti-Semites. So he's pretty well made it clear where he stands. And Alex Jones has said himself that if you want to harm the Jews, that you'll have to go through him.
Well, that'd be a lot to go through.
So he's literally saying that he will fight and die to uphold Jewish rule in America. That's an incredible statement. I mean, he's saying that he's on the side of the evildoers. He's chosen his side, and he will go down with them when we win this battle.
Wow.
I think also that they're picking up this anti-Hitler propaganda, not only in the mainstream, also in they're tapping on their agents in the alternative media like Alex Jones, the Oprah Winfrey of the alternative media, because there's a lot of exposure of the Jewish criminal network. This is everywhere. A lot of people are waking up to it. You see more and more websites starting to pop up criticizing Israel, and they're getting on to the Jewish question, and it's very widespread, and they're worried about it. And in order to put that down, in order to suppress the exposure of their criminal network and their heinous atrocities they've inflicted upon many different people throughout history, they have to continually pump out more anti-Hitler propaganda, because when you bash Hitler, you invoke images of the Hall of Hoax, and they need to keep this going. This is the engine that drives the Jew world order, is Holocaustianity, and what they claim happened in World War II. They cannot let this die. If that propaganda falls, if the Holocaust is destroyed and dismantled, as it should be because it's a myth, and if the lies about Hitler and his regime are taken apart, dismantled, and the record is set straight on that matter, then the Jew world order is finished. It will collapse like a house of cards, because that is the main foundational lie that is upholding this entire Jewish power structure throughout the world.
And it certainly is worldwide. I mean, they're in every single country. They occupy the governments of so many countries, and, you know, Germany. Just look what Germany did just recently with the submarines that they sent to Israel. I mean, that I have some very, very good friends who are German, and this just broke their hearts. They're older gentlemen, and they are just absolutely so saddened by what has happened to their country.
Yeah, it's a pretty sad state of affairs going on in Germany. It is basically the new Zion. You cannot criticize Jews, or even maybe Israel you could criticize, but even then you'll get a lot of heat in Germany. Like this German poet recently, his name was Günter Grass or something.
Yes, uh-huh.
And he was ostracized for simply criticizing Israel, even though he maintains the Holocaust fable. So they don't tolerate any dissent against Jewish power in Germany. They're one of the most oppressive states in terms of freedom of speech. You cannot say anything against Jews. You cannot question the preposterous fairy tales that have been told about their people during the Second World War. If you question any aspect of Holocaustianity, you will be in handcuffs, and you will be put in jail in a gulag and forced to recant, like Galileo was when he came out with his quote theory that the earth was not revolving, or that the sun was not revolving around the earth. And they made him recant, and now they're doing the same thing to the Holocaust revisionists. It's like an inquisition. The thought police are viciously attempting to put down investigation into this myth. And if it was so self-evident that the Holocaust is true, and if there's evidence for it, then why do they need to do that? They would never have to do that. They wouldn't have to resort to suppressing people's speech if they had evidence. The only reason you need to put down people questioning your claims is if you don't have any evidence for them. And that should be self-evident, and that should be one thing that should lead newcomers to start to question the lies that have been told about the Holocaust and the Second World War.
Right. You know, the thing about the people in Germany is that so many of them have bought into the lie, because they went through the denazification right after World War II, and then the re-education process. And now, I was talking to my friend from Germany, and he said that basically the only people in his family that remain in Germany all believe the Holocaust, except his aunt, who is like 98 years old, and that she was the only one that he could talk to when he went to visit recently that still understood how he felt. And he just cannot understand why members of his family who lived through some of the some of the wartime tribulation and all, how they could possibly believe the lies that the Jews have spun.
Well, the system in Germany is that from birth, from the moment that they're born, they're propagandized to believe this fable and to believe in the guilt of their people. They're forced to be self-hating Germans. And Theodor Kaufmann's book, Germany Must Perish, where he calls for the complete sterilization of all Germans, he calls for the dismantlement and the ripping apart of the German nation. You know, that seems to be being fulfilled in terms of the massive immigration that is going into Germany, and they can't say anything about it because they will invoke this World War II guilt that has been foisted upon them by Jewry, and they're paying out millions and billions of dollars in reparations to the state of Israel. They're sending them weapons and submarines, as you said, and they're essentially just laying prostrate, and the Jews are just milking them for all that they're worth. That they're milking them, like it says in the Old Testament, that you shall suck the milk of the Gentiles, and they shall stand and feed your flocks, and they will be your plowmen and your vine dressers, and that the wealth of the nations will come unto the Jews, and that they will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. The Jewish God has commanded the Jews to enslave Gentiles, to steal and rob from them everything that they have, including their land and resources, and make them slaves and serfs to serve them, and be their puppets, and be their toys, to be sent to fight the wars for them, to vanquish their enemies for them. And you see this throughout history, the past two centuries in particular. Every enemy of the Jews, whether it was the Russian Tsar in the early 20th century, or Hitler, or now the Arabic and the Islamic countries that are opposing Israeli imperialism, every time they find an enemy, the media says that those people are our enemies and that we need to go and fight and destroy them. And this is a pattern that continues, and it will continue if we allow them to run our media, to run our banking systems, to run our governments, to run our education institutions. We're going to be living as slaves to them for the rest of history if we allow them to do this, because they're not going to stop. This is a religious commandment for them to rule over us. They believe it is a divine, they have a divine right to rule over Gentiles. And if Gentiles rebel against their rule, that we shall be wiped out and killed. The best of the Gentiles should be killed, it says in the Talmud. And that is what they have done. Anyone who resists Jewish domination is targeted for annihilation, is targeted for assassination. Their people are demonized and dehumanized to force other Gentiles and foment hatred of them and then facilitate a war of aggression against those people who are trying just to be free and to break the grip of these eternal oppressors of humanity.
Wow. And it's all their religious dogma. And you did quote from the Bible. I can't remember where that is found.
The book of Isaiah.
Okay.
Principally. But you can find it all over the Old Testament. Every word is dripping with Jewish supremacy.
Yes. And, you know, it's amazing why Christians would fall for this, would believe this stuff. Well, I mean, I guess I fell into that category at one point, and it speaks to how well indoctrination works, that it supersedes your rational thinking, your critical thinking. Although, you know, I think the first time that I read the Book of Esther, I thought, holy cow, they're going to go out and kill all these people And for what reason? I think it was like 75,000 people.
Yeah.
And you know, they don't mention God in the Book of Esther at all. It's just a short book, and yet she's supposed to be some sort of a heroine, that she saved her people. But she saved them, if she saved them at all, at the cost of 75,000 people who had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with harming her people.
Well, the Jews believe themselves to be living gods, so they didn't mention gods because they think they are God. They believe that they're here to rule over the rest of humanity because they are superior according to their religious texts. And the Book of Esther is a perfect example of the tenet of central tenet of Judaism is vengeance, is taking vengeance upon anyone that they perceive to be a threat to them. And the concept of Amalek, where Amalek is the Jewish God, commands the Jews to wipe out to the last man, woman, and child and donkey to facilitate a land takeover. Or a political objective, or a religious objective, or a cultural objective, or what have you. So, Purim is, yeah, a disgusting ritual. Every year they celebrate the massacre of 75,000 people, and you see them celebrating a lot of different massacres. If it benefits Jewish political ambitions, then they're very happy about it. Just like on 9/11, the Israeli leaders were euphoric. They were openly celebrating and saying how great this was for Israel, that it turned public opinion against the enemies of Israel and in favor of Israel. They were saying what a amazing and important public relations act it was in favor of the Jews. And then you had the five dancing Israelis celebrating the attack in New Jersey, in New York. So it just so happens that every time there's a major atrocity or a terrorist attack or a political subversive event, the Jews are there to document it, and they just so happen to benefit from it.
Right. Now, you said something very interesting. You said that the Jews would take revenge against those that they thought would hurt them. Basically, what you were talking about was preemptive warfare. And we have been doing preemptive warfare for a very long time. But have you noticed that we've gone beyond using false flags now? That now we're just The United States government is now just going in. They don't even need a false flag. They don't even need to say, "Oh, they're like the Bay of Tonkin event or Pearl
Right.
Harbor or 9/11." Look at the warfare that they've engaged in just recently, and then in addition to the covert warfare in South America and Central America over the last 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we don't like you, so we're gonna attack you, and we don't need a reason anymore. I think they think people are so dumbed down and ignorant that they could just get away with this stuff, that they could do whatever the hell they want, that they're a gangster mafia just doing whatever they feel like, whenever they feel like, and nobody's going to do anything about it. So the idea of preemptive warfare, I mean, you could find it in the Old Testament where they're just exterminating their people that they think are an enemy or perceive to be an enemy or think might end up being an enemy in the future, and this is what they've done in the Middle East. Anyone who gets in the way of Jewish territorial ambitions in terms of the state of Israel, the Palestinians were wiped out, kicked out of their homes, their villages demolished, and this was done simply to benefit Zionism. And all of the other enemies of Israel and in the region have been attacked by Israel and by the United States, who just goes in, invades these nations, completely decimates them with bombs and depleted uranium and all kinds of hell weapons to destroy the infrastructure of the country. They wipe out the intelligentsia of the country first so there can be no resistance to it. This is a Jewish policy. This is not, as Alex Jones would tell you, a Nazi policy or a globalist New World Order policy. This is a Jewish policy. Every single target of this fraudulent war on terror is an enemy of Jews, is an enemy of the state of Israel, who is resisting their domination and their land theft and their resource plundering and their terrorism and their exploitation of their homeland. So every single group of people who have been the victim of this phony war on terror just so happens to be people who are resisting Jewish rule. And that should be pretty indicative and should tell you who's running the United States government, who's running the West, and who controls the world.
Exactly. Because I believe that we do have a Judaic, we are running this country, or the government is running the country under a Judaic Talmudic law. And it is quite obvious. And they have been doing that at least since the Civil War, the so-called Civil War. And it's really obvious. All the presidents since that time have either knuckled under and done what they were told, or they were eliminated in some way, either through the political process or through assassination. And I think that we don't realize just how many presidents, U.S. presidents, have been assassinated or who have had attempts on their life. I mean, there must be about 8, I believe.
Yeah. The U.S. foreign policy has been despicable for hundreds of years. And what I'd say about it is, you know, the blatant warmongering against countries, the blatant theft of resources. This is an external reflection of the internal problem. And that would be the Jewish power elite, who have hijacked all of the levers of power in the United States and are using it to create a world that is safe for the Jews, that is a earthly kingdom for Jewry, and their quest for world domination, which is outlined in the Old Testament, the Talmud, and the protocols, is the agenda. And is being implemented, and the United States is simply a vehicle for that agenda. And they've used other countries before to implement their political goals in the world. The United States is the latest one and the most disastrous one. But they hijacked Russia in 1917 and used it to go on a reign of terror in Eastern Europe and rape and pillage and plunder and murder and massacre millions of people. They used Britain, the Rothschild family, when they were dominating Europe through their banking schemes and swindles. They were using the British Empire to do their wet work and their dirty work around the world, like the opium wars in China, which were a direct result of the Rothschilds and the Sassoon drug-dealing Jewish family out of India, who were funneling opium into China, and the Chinese said we had enough of it, threw the opium into the ocean, and they used their economic and media influence to force the British to wage a war on the Chinese to re-implement the drug trade there. So Gentiles have been used as pawns to fight the wars for the Jews and the Jews' economic interests. And they're extremely successful at doing this. They don't fight their own wars. They're not warriors. What they do is they sit back and count their shekels and manipulate things from behind the scenes and send out the quote-unquote goyim to do the dirty work, because they don't believe that they have to do any work. They don't like to work. They've never worked. They like to lend money and do things that they could exploit people, which is a dictate in the Old Testament as well. Usury is advocated by the Jewish God in the Old Testament. And that is one of the main methods they have used to establish dictatorial power in the world, along with their media control.
Right. I was reading a book just in the last couple of days about the distribution of the Jews in Eastern Europe. And basically, most of them lived in the cities and the towns. Very few lived out in the country because they are not into doing agriculture. They are more into trading and, as you say, money lending, trading goods, owning shops, and that kind of thing. Where they really don't have to do any manual labor. And it's very interesting. This book that I was reading talked about in the 1930s how many people among the Jewish population they were talking about the birth rate and that it fell, and that was during the same time of the worldwide depression. And it was just very interesting that you kind of get a feeling of how the Jews work and live by looking at the distribution of their population. But it is also remarkable that that the birth rate was really low and yet the death rate was quite high. And so the numbers that the Jews have used are so totally inflated by thousands upon thousands. And it was just a very interesting read.
Well, that's true. I mean, they don't like any kind of manual labor. They like to do anything with money, anything that has to do with money. They got their hands in it. Or, media. Media is an industry that is thoroughly dominated from top to bottom by Jews. And it's not a coincidence that they just happen to be in all these industries that are involved in opinion control, public opinion control, or economic control. This can't be the result of just mere happenstance. This has to be a coordinated effort on their part. There has to be a motivation behind it. And through my research, I found that they definitely have an agenda to control and rule over non-Jews. They believe it's a religious commandment to do so, and a religious divine right that they should rule over us and enslave us, and make us into cattle, as Rabbi Ovadia Yosef openly said. Other revered rabbis and sages, like the founder of Chabad Lubavitch, his name was Rabbi Znor Zalman of Liadi, said that all Gentiles are evil. So the hatred from these people is astronomical. That they just have a vicious and intense hatred of non-Jews, and they have to have that in order to do what they do to us and not feel guilty about it. So they dehumanize us. They make it seem as if we are the evil ones and that oppressing us is a good thing and we deserve it.
Right. I'm sure you're aware of John Robison, who wrote a book in 1798. He said that the elite, and we're talking about the Jewish elite here, that they would also gain control and gain a predominant influence within a country's military apparatus through the establishment of academies dedicated to instruction and the promotion of warfare, and the management of such organizations like military colleges or naval academies is essential to militarizing a country. And it's amazing that Congress authorized the very first military school, the U.S. Military Academy, known as West Point, on March 16, 1802, and have established others since then. And that is relatively early in our country's history, 1802. And this is the way that they militarize a country. And of course, it's very profitable. But in order to make profit from war, you have to set a mentality of warfare. And how better to do it than to dominate the military establishment through schools where they learn war games and all kinds of things.
I think they had the similar stuff like that in the Soviet Union. It was a militarist society, and they had a lot of schools like that to train kids from birth that they need to wage war on other people. And that is a critical and a cardinal component of the Jewish agenda, is to manipulate Gentiles into waging war against other Gentiles. And another component of it is the Hollywood entertainment to dehumanize and demonize people that they don't like. And if you look at Hollywood films, it seems that the main people that get the negative portrayal in all the films are Germans or Arabs and Muslims, who are portrayed as terrorists in every single film. Jews, on the other hand, are portrayed as these virtuous victims, these wonderful people who have never committed a sin in the history of mankind. So Hollywood and the war machine is inextricably linked, and one cannot exist without the other, because you need to get people angry, you need to get people in a mindset where they're aggressive and they want to go out and fight and kill other people, and that's the way to do it, is through Hollywood movies.
Right. It's very interesting. When I was a kid, I wondered how could the Jews be so docile that they would just march into these death camps? Why didn't they fight back? And even then I thought, how could this be that you have this huge number of people and a relatively few amount of guards?
Right.
What's wrong with these people? And then as I started researching, I found out that they are the biggest terrorist and have practiced terrorist activities since the very beginning.
It's such a crazy and absurd narrative that millions of Jews would just march into quote unquote gas chambers and not put up a single fight or resistance at all. And one of the more absurd fairy tales that is claimed, or that was claimed and is no longer, is that the Germans somehow had like delayed action gas, where they would kill them in using gas, and then but they wouldn't die immediately. They would get up and walk out themselves to the grave and jump in. Literally, this was one of the claims that was made at Nuremberg, along with the obscene fable about soap and lampshades, and they were making handbags out of Jews and using their bone powder to fertilize cabbage fields. It's incredible what it's psychopathic lying. I mean, they have this innate ability to weave these fanciful and psychotically deranged stories and tell it as if it's like, people are going to believe this? Do they honestly think that people would believe stuff like this? In fact, people do believe this, but I don't, and you don't, and a lot of people don't, and we're trying to get the truth out about it. There was this guy named, I think his name was Rosenthal, or he came up with this story. He wrote a book about the Holocaust, and then turned out that it was a lie. He said he met his wife, she threw an
Oh,
apple.
yeah.
He's on ABC News, and it came out that it was a fraud, the story. He hadn't met his wife until getting in the US. And then the interviewer's like, "Well, why did you lie?" And he says, "I did not lie. In my imagination, it was true. Therefore, in my imagination, I believed it. Therefore, it is not a lie." So this is how psychotic these people are. He thinks that he can lie to people, blatantly and brazenly lie, and that it doesn't matter, because he believed it, you know.
And the thing that is at least upsetting is the fact that his wife acquiesced and went along with this. And I'm thinking, these people are just downright liars. And they went all well. They had several interviews. They were on the Oprah program, and I
Yeah.
just can't believe somebody would be that blatantly dishonest.
Well, they pray the Kol Nidre prayer,
Oh,
which
that's
that they
right. In September, that's right. They get to.
any oaths that they give are null and void, you know, that they can lie. And in the Talmud it says that they can lie, and it's a religious commandment to lie to Gentiles, if they will be exposed, or if it'll make them look bad if the truth gets out, that they can lie. they can do anything. They can murder, they could kill, they could rape, they could lie, and this is all permissible according to the Jewish religion, and they continue to do it, and they'll continue to do it because it's their very nature. They don't
Right.
know any different.
Right. They are kind of psychopathic. And in fact, yes, I read that they were a very psychopathic type of people. And in fact, I was trying to reach my book, but I can't reach it. It's called Dissecting the Holocaust. And there's a long, long list in that book of all the things that they lied about and all of the ways that the Germans supposedly executed them or killed them. And some of the things were, one of them is so preposterous. They would make a bunch of Jews climb up a tree, then they would have some other Jews chop the tree down, and it would kill the Jews that were in the tree. Now, is that the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
It's
Why didn't they
retarded.
just shoot them in the back of the head?
It's absolutely retarded what they come up with. Yeah, why didn't they just use the method that the Jewish secret police agents of the Cheka were using, shooting them in the back of the head like they did in Katyn Forest and a thousand other places in Eastern Europe, and then they blamed all of that on the Nazis. It's just absurd. It's just like psychotic, crazy. You can't even describe what these people are. They're just nuts, and they do tend to have mental illness running through their bloodlines as well, and that contributes to it. That contributes to the psychopathic lying and the mythical stories, sob stories that they come up with, and they need this to brainwash us and to convince us that they're victims so that they can get away with it. They get away with pretty much everything. Everything, every criminal act they've ever committed that I've looked into, they've gotten away with it. And all of it, the totality of it is astronomical, and they seem to either get away with it or blame it on Gentiles or just cover it up and whitewash it and sweep it under the rug.
Right. They do have to be the victims, and that's one of the first characteristics of being a psychopath, is that you have to be a victim. And when you consider all of the times that they have claimed victimhood through the decades, through the centuries, and to think that that is one of the very first characteristics that you would assign to a psychopath.
And the reality is the exact opposite. They've always been the oppressors, and the so-called persecution they claim to have suffered, a lot of it is exaggerated or made up. And the stuff that is real was simply a reaction to something that they did that was heinous and atrocious and criminal and oppressive against the host population. So they're not victims. They've always been the oppressors. They've always been the ones who commit crimes, and then there's a backlash, and then they're crying and whining and moaning and wailing and hissing for the next 250 years or actually for all eternity. They will not let you forget. And that is a main critical component of their strategy to psychologically enslave us.
Right. And of course, they've used that in 9/11, and they attempted to use it when they assaulted the USS Liberty. They were going to blame it on Egypt so that the US government would, the US military would go after Egypt. And this is just what they do. And it doesn't matter who gets killed, it doesn't matter who gets hurt, they just blame someone else. Blame either another person or another country. And they really don't have any ethics or morals. I've talked to a lot of people who say, "Oh, there are some good Jews." And admittedly, I do know a good Jew, and in fact, he's on my program on a regular basis. But for the most part, everyone that I have ever met personally or have had any business dealings with, they have always, always attempted to cheat me economically.
I'm not surprised. That's what they do. I mean, but there are a lot of they have a lot of helpers. They have a lot of pawns. They have a lot of there's a greedy people that they can buy off and manipulate to go along with their agenda. And I'm just as hard on the non-Jews who push these propaganda myths about Hitler, because it's not, they're the main source of it, obviously. They're the progenitor of these atrocious and ridiculous lies about Hitler and the Holocaust and so forth. But they got a lot of non-Jews who've gotten on board with them to push these fables, to perpetuate these myths, because
Okay,
it benefits them.
sure. Now, can you name some? I mean, if we go back in history, we can certainly say that that many presidents have been useless idiots, have been useful minions to the Jews. Woodrow Wilson, of course, Herbert Hoover, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt.
A lot of politicians have been completely in their pocket and done their bidding. Joseph Stalin, for example. A lot of media people also are pushing their propaganda incessantly, vilifying the enemies of Jewry, marching lockstep with the Jews. Even in the Holocaust arena, you have non-Jews who push propaganda, like this British guy recently, Carolyn Yeager, exposed him as a fraud. His name was like Dennis Avey or
Avi,
something.
yeah.
Yeah, a non-Jew, but he's a liar, and he's pushing these lies because he's getting monetary benefit, and they're promoting him. So,
Right. And the people that say they opened the camps and that they were did all this and liberated the Jews, many of them are liars. They weren't anywhere near the camps, and Eric Hunt demonstrated this. And yet they do it for, again, monetary reward.
and prestige and so forth.
Yes,
A lot of motives that they have to go along with the evildoers, the Jewish power elite, the Jewish criminal network. They have a lot of pawns and helpers. And today, like the people who try to persecute, like Ernst Zundel, for example, you have groups that are calling themselves like the anti-racist action, for example, or these anti-fascist groups. That assault and attack Holocaust revisionists and other, nationalist patriot leaders and stuff are the victims of these communist and anarchist groups. Now, a lot of these morons are just working class, and they're not a lot of them are, I don't think you could say all of them are Jews, but a lot of them are just morons and brainwashed retards who are just entranced and they're in a stupor, and they want to support Jewry based on propaganda that they've been force-fed since birth, and they're doing the bidding of Jewry, these communist and Marxist groups that attack nationalists, that attack Holocaust revisionists, are essentially foot soldiers for Zion, foot soldiers for the Jew world order, and they're doing their bidding even on a low level like that. Those people are working class people, and they're defending the Jewish power elite, their own slave masters. It's crazy.
Yes, the very, very people who are extracting usury from them, taking the proceeds from their labor. And during Ernst Zundel's trial, interestingly, he was accused of publishing this book that was he didn't actually write it; he just republished it. And so they accused him of spreading false news. And yet there were groups of people that firebombed his house. They burnt down his house, I believe, and a lot of of his work that he had produced. And yet nobody got arrested for doing that, and yet he was going through this trial. He had to wear a hard hat to the courtroom, plus a vest. I mean, that is bizarre.
And then they accused him of being a security threat to Canada. They declared Ernst Zundel, who's a self-declared pacifist, who's never committed a crime in his life. He's not violent. He's never done anything to hurt anybody. And he is declared the security threat, and the Jewish terrorists from the Jewish Defense League and their evil helpers, Marxists and communist groups and so forth, attacked him. Like you said, they inflicted terrorism against the man for decades, and none of them are arrested because they're Jews. Jews don't get arrested when they commit crimes. They're rewarded. And he's a martyr for truth. Ernst Zundel, sacrificed a lot to get the truth out. And I credit him with a lot of my awakening as well, because his videos and documentaries that he put out are amazing, you know, amazing
Oh,
information.
fabulous. Fabulous.
I just wanted to mention this other thing that happened recently where this cabal of Jews were attacking me on a radio show. They were calling me an anti-Semite and a Jew hater and
Oh, is
whatnot.
that Janet Phelan?
It was really entertaining. I was very encouraged to see it, because they have no rebuttal or response to anything I've claimed about Jewish criminality. It was a complete ad hominem effort, like the Anti-Defamation League, like their counterparts at the Anti-Defamation League. Yeah, I hadn't even heard of this wench, Janet Phelan. She's an admitted Jewish supremacist, and she has some sidekick named.
Barbara Hartwell.
That's right. I hadn't even heard of these people, but I saw one of them linking to my site, and I clicked on it, and it's like Nazi propagandist from hell, and then she's like attacking me, and it was pretty funny, actually. It was pretty hilarious to see, and it's encouraging to see, because this shows that they're desperate, that they're getting worried, because they see that I have been smashing and demolishing the lies about Hitler. Because that is the, since I've said, that's the foundational myth of the Jew World Order. When they see people consistently destroying the propaganda of a World War II, they get very nervous. They get very worried about it. And they were up in arms. They were hissing and wailing and screaming like vampires about my work and my site. And they even mentioned you. They even mentioned you, and they said, oh, ZCF has all these promoters, these evil promoters of ZCF. So I'm glad to see stuff like that. That's really a badge of honor to see.
I believe it is too. Absolutely.
See these sick Jewish supremacists attack me. It's a great thing. Adolf Hitler said that if the Jews are not decrying you in their newspapers in the morning, then you didn't do your job the day before.
Right.
So, how true is that?
Very true. Very true. It is a badge of honor. It truly is. And I know, I'm sorry, but I know that they didn't attack the message. They simply vilified you. They didn't address the message at all. And that is certainly their tactic.
Well, the Ron Jeremy lookalike on the video, he admitted, he's like, you can't talk about Israel in the U.S. You can say anything about any other subject, but you just can't talk about Israel. Yet at the same time, he goes on to delusionally deny that Jews control America. If Jews don't control America, then why can't you talk about Israel, the Jewish state? Yeah. So it's complete cognitive dissonance. They're deluding themselves. They have no arguments. They have no evidence against me. They have no rational debate to put down what I'm saying, but you know, they're still just engaging in ad hominem attacks to discourage me from doing what I'm doing. And it's not going to work. Absolutely will not work.
Right. And I just I think that it probably drives people to your site.
It probably does. It probably brings some traffic in, because they plugged my site. They, you know, they said my, and they're so retarded, because they couldn't even figure out that me and Mike Delaney are two different people. Like, oh, we've tracked down ZCF. He's Mike Delaney ProThink. Now he's a friend of mine. He hosts my site. So they're, you know, they claim, this one woman, Hartwell, claims to be some like ex-CIA psyops agent. She was a CIA rat. And she's accusing me of being the disinfo shill.
Exactly. I mean, is there ex-mafia or ex-CIA? I don't know.
They're openly Jewish supremacists. I've heard this Phelan woman. I listened to some show she did where they're bemoaning the anti-Semites in the truth movement. And she says that she's a proud Jew. So that should tell you right there, this woman is working for the enemy, that she's marching lockstep with the Jew World Order, and that she's here as an infiltrator, a deceiver, to push Jewish propaganda in our midst. and bring people away from the truth.
Right. I totally agree with you. Wow, we've had quite a nice conversation. And I really appreciate you joining me. It's been
Glad to be
wonderful.
here. Hope to do many more in the future.
Oh, I think we should do this on a regular basis because there's just so many topics to cover. And we would never run out of anything because they are so actively engaged in so much deception and so much warfare and so many other things against us. We could go on forever about it.
They give us a lot to talk about. This is true.
Well, I really appreciate it, and it's been great talking with you, and let's do this again soon, maybe next week.
All right. Have a good day. Keep up the
Hey,
good work, too.
you too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.